time once again for Community Forum. And we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Pamela Burton and Jeremy Smithson. Pamela Burton and Jeremy Smithson are the owners and proprietors of Puget Sound Solar, one of our very own homegrown local solar outfits. And they're in to bring us up to speed on what the current situation for solar technology is here in Washington State, in specifically Puget Sound, and talk about next week's National Solar Tour. Pam and Jeremy, thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you for having us. This is always fun to do.
So start out, tell us about Puget Sound Solar.
Well, Puget Sound Solar is... we're in our 10th year now of doing solar in Seattle, and we started out as a general contractor remodeling homes, and one of our customers asked us about solar, and we looked into it, and nobody else was doing it, so it was something we'd been interested in for a while, and we saw that as an opportunity. It turned out to be really kind of the very beginning of user-friendly solar or installer-friendly solar. So instead of cobbling together a lot of arcane bits to make this, you know, kind of hippie-in-the-woods sort of system, everything had become plug-and-play or was becoming plug-and-play. So that was a great time to actually get into the business.
And that was the first net-metered system.
Yeah,
we did. In 2001, and it was just the same year as 911. It was so obvious to us why we had to consider doing locally generated power for everybody, or as many people as possible. And net metering had become a law. It's a national law that says that anybody that's putting power into the grid deserves a credit from the utility. National law passed in the late 90s. A lot of people don't know it because the utilities, some utilities have kind of hidden that fact from our citizens in this country. But here in Washington, we were really blessed by a very clever attorney who figured out, you know, well, let's go. We have to write the state law. And he put into, effect in 2000. By 2001, we had a really effective state law that said if you've got solar panels on your house and they're producing more energy than the house needs, which is often true in the summer here in Seattle because we have these wonderful, long, clear, sunny summer days normally, then you're putting out power into the grid. We make at least three times the amount we're using during the summer. So it goes back into the grid, and our meter spins backwards, which is kind of the magic phrase, and it is the silver bullet that makes solar possible in the Northwest. And that was all written into law, says you can do it. Power companies figure out a way to work with your customers, do the paperwork, figure out what you need, run it by the lawyers, sign the contracts, and that's why it started 2001, that first net meter system here in Seattle. And that was our wonderful customer, Thomas Alsop. His system has been producing ever since more than he needs. He's a low-use person.
So for your average user, your average family, does our climate here in the Pacific Northwest generate enough sun?
It does.
Well, yeah. We actually have pretty good solar resource, just not so much in the wintertime. We get six times more sun in July than we do in December. And everybody kind of knows that, how dark it is at that time of year. But in spite of that, we get 70% of the sun that Los Angeles does. And there are some other factors that make it a pretty good place to produce solar energy, especially solar electric systems. They tend to produce more when they're cooler. And we have cool summer days. So a solar panel running for a day in the summertime here will actually produce more energy than one in Phoenix, although Phoenix gets a lot more sunny days, so that's how they make up for it. But our cool summer days are actually a good thing. So there are some other factors that we typically don't think about that do help us. And so we've learned, you know, over the years that a lot of people are interested in doing this. It's kind of a natural, you know, the sun comes up every day. It's a pretty reliable source. It's just that it's behind clouds or trees in a lot of cases here, so that's our big challenge.
All right, so talk a bit about what is currently happening here in Washington State and nationally in terms of incentives for people to get involved with this, maybe tell us what kind of outlay they're looking at, you know, financially, and maybe we'll get into technology, too, that's currently available.
We talk about three flavors of doing solar, and there's the traditional panels, which are glass on Kevlar, which are less expensive than some of the glass-on-glass panels that are now being manufactured. And we love the Sharp panels. Everybody knows Sharp. We love Sanyo, another Japanese company, started out in stereos. Now they're making solar panels. And the Sharp factory is located in Tennessee, so we try really hard to always buy USA Union factory there in Tennessee. The Sanyos are building a factory in Portland. And those are with the Sanyos, they're the more high density. So if you had a small cut-up roof like we have here in Seattle, Sanyos are very efficient. The Sharp are the less expensive. And then we have, ready for this, folks, sitting down, we actually have a manufacturing plant here in the Great Northwest in Washington State up in Marysville called Silicon Energy. And they're making systems now. This is a glass-on-glass panel. It's not a traditional panel. It's 4x4. Average panels are 40 pounds a piece. These are 60 pounds a piece, so a little heavier. It is made in Washington, and they have an inverter now made at the same factory. And the result, as far as the rewards are concerned, so when we talk about these three flavors, we can talk about getting in less expensively, like buying something like a Sharp module. But the reward isn't as high, but it's actually good. We have Sanyos on our house. We're earning 15 cents for every kilowatt hour we produce. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, think about it as, what do we pay for electricity? Well, we pay 4 cents at the lower tier, and then it goes up to 8 cents, and now it's going up to 9 cents, and there's seasonal rates. But basically, what I'm earning is double what I would pay for electricity. Now, now that we can do the Made in Washington system, you actually earn 54 cents a kilowatt hour. So it's a huge reward. These panels are a little more expensive than the other panels because they're glass on glass. It's more expensive technology. But in the long run, it takes the average home, about a 3-kilowatt system, it's about 8 years, and it's paid for itself. Because you're going to get a check every year. This program, it's a state program. We based it on the German model a lot of people have heard about. Why Germany, even though they only have 70% of this resource we have in terms of solar, they're number one in the world in installations. So here in the Northwest, where we have more sun than in Germany, we said, well, let's look at what those Germans did to make themselves number one. And what they did is they did what they call the feed-in tariff. And they pay people 54 cents for every kilowatt hour. But they don't get to net meter, you see. We double dip because I'm earning that every year. And it doesn't matter that I use that energy. It's like you think of a whole loaf of bread. What my house produces, I'm going to get paid for the whole loaf. I could eat half of it. I could eat the whole loaf. I'm going to get paid for everything I produce. And that was the wisdom of the governor and both sides of the aisle in Olympia that said, this is a great way to build the industry, and we want a homegrown industry. And that's what they're getting. So now we have this factory. We're hearing about other factories coming online in the next few years. Right now the legislation is good till 2020. So we're going to get a check every year until 2020 for what we're producing on our home. Everybody else gets to do that, and it's a great way. Plus, I don't want to forget to say that the federal tax incentive, which is available across the country, it's a federal tax credit, which is better than an incentive. You actually get to write off 30% of the cost of the installed system. So when you asked about average cost, with this Made in Washington system, we've averaged 3 kilowatt, we're talking about around $30,000, but right away you can write off $10,000.
So let me make a distinction. It's not writing off. You actually get the money back. It's a tax credit. So 30% of the system cost, the installed cost of the system, you get back almost like a rebate from Uncle Sam if you pay income taxes. Not everybody has tax liability, but most people that are buying a solar system have a job and they're paying taxes. So it's a great way to, we used to say, don't send your money to the war, put it on your roof and make solar energy. So that's still true, 30%. And that law is in effect till 2016. So these incentives really help. The cost of the systems are still relatively high, although it is coming down as we speak. Just the volume, the sheer volume of production of solar energy systems in this country and worldwide has exploded. And, of course, that's helped to bring the cost down a lot. The technology has gotten better, more reliable. You know, a lot of it has to do with just manufacturers working out details of quality control. And also a few interesting kind of minor breakthroughs in efficiency and cost saving and so forth. So since we started this business, there have been some huge improvements in both the incentives and the technology.
And talking about these, the photovoltaic cells, the glass versus the other was on, what was it on? The less expensive ones?
Well, the panels are all made with glass on one side.
Right.
And the back side would be Tevlar and the traditional
Tevlar.
Panels.
Tedlar. Yeah.
Okay. And that's a plastic?
Yeah. So typically, and we're talking about solar electric. There's solar thermal systems that make hot water that we haven't even talked about yet. But a typical solar electric panel has glass on the front. And that'll be like safety glass, so it's very strong, tempered glass. Then the cells are laminated to that glass with a goop, usually ethyl vinyl acetate, although there are other products that are used for it now. And then there's a back sheet to seal the whole thing against the weather. And it turns out that oxygen will get through the back sheet and work on the electrical bonds on the cells. It's a very slow process. And depending on what material the backsheet is made of, it can be slow or slower or not happen at all. So in the case of plastic, that's the most pervious to oxygen. There's also some products with an aluminum backsheet that's less pervious. And then there's glass, which is impervious. So if you have a glass backsheet and glass on the front, you've basically encapsulated those solar cells permanently. And they should be a perpetual solar panel. Pretty exciting.
And what's the longevity of the different components currently?
So panels we expect to last 50 to 80 years. The inverters maybe 15 or 20 years if they're a good model. Inverters are electronic devices, and so they gradually break down. Certain components break down because of heat. And we haven't quite gotten around that yet, although there are some inverter manufacturers that are claiming pretty long times between failures. And so we'll see. It's fairly new product relative to the panels, which have been produced for many years.
And it's really easy to change out. And we talk about inverters. Some people don't know. That's the brain that runs the system. So solar electric systems are pretty in the sense of easy to understand, and that there's a module, and then there's the inverter, and the inverter is what takes the information from the modules, which is
electricity,
DC, and converts it into AC that your house is going to use, and immediately your house uses that, and then it tells the grid when to shut down. If the grid gets shut down, It's the brain that says, oh, the grid's down, we got to shut down now, because otherwise it could be backfeeding into the grid, and lineman comes out to fix the grid, he'd be toast. So and the inverter is also what keeps track of the amount of kilowatt hours that the system is producing. And in here in Washington State, where we have our wonderful incentive, the production incentive, we also then run into a production meter that keeps track of all the hours that are produced, similar to what the inverter's doing, but this is so the utility comes out when City Light comes out to read our regular meter every other month. They're also reading our production meter and keeping track of how much our system is making. And then once a year they do an accounting for that, send me a letter, says this is what we think you've made, and this is what for the year. And so I'm about to get my check now. It'll be close to $1,000 with our 6-kilowatt system on our house.
And you have batteries involved with this as well?
No.
No. Didn't they used to have batteries involved?
They did. That was part of that clunky hippie movement. Well, if you're off the grid.
Yeah. In the old days, most of these products were installed off-grid. That was the most useful Because they were expensive. So, you know, if you lived far away from the power grid, it would cost you more to get a power line out to your home than it would be to set up a solar electric system. And those were all battery based, you know, or battery backed up. They might have a generator involved. Here in town, you know, we don't have power outages so much. I think we've had two at our house in 13 years. And one of them was for an hour and the other was for like 10 minutes. So, rather than using a battery, which is actually an inefficient method, you lose about 20% of what you're producing in charging and discharging a battery. So rather than doing that, we just feed it straight into an electric, you know, the house electric panel. And, it goes right to loads in the house, lights, refrigerator, what have you. And if the house isn't using all the power that's being produced, which is quite common in the middle of the day, then your meter goes backwards and the power goes to your neighbor's house. So you actually get credit for producing a little power on the city light grid.
But if you do need battery backup, there are some very eloquent made in Washington systems by a factory up in Arlington, Outback. And for some people, like the question we always ask, and oftentimes we get calls from folks after the big storms, and they say, well, we really want to get off the grid. Well, we have a conversation about that, and why you don't really want to get off the grid, because you do want the state incentive. The idea that for some people it's an emergency. There could be an elder in the home who has to have power, the dialysis machine. We have a photographer who sends data to Europe. He cannot go down. So different reasons why, yes, people do can have the battery backup system. So that can be part of the system.
We'll probably come back to this, but I want to make sure that we talk about solar water heating as well, because that's another important system that you guys work on. Talk about that.
Yeah, so solar water heating is the most basic, other than solar space heating, passive solar heating. Solar water heating is kind of the most basic way to use solar energy. Heating water is typically the second biggest energy user in a home, and solar water heaters are actually quite efficient, especially when you compare them to solar electric panels. They collect more energy per square foot by far. For instance, a solar electric panel might collect 20% of the sunlight that hits it and convert it into electricity. A solar hot water collector can do up to 70%. So
it's a simpler technology.
Yeah, it's a simpler technology.
Put a dish of water out on the sidewalk today. The sun comes out, it's going to heat up.
Yeah.
Can't make electricity that way.
Yeah. So it's very simple. It is there's very limited use. It's just, you know, basically low temperature water heating. But it'll heat the water up to boiling if you let it. So
home can make 50 to 70% of its hot water.
Yeah. So you can make a pretty good chunk of your hot water in Seattle with a solar hot water system.
Again, not so much in the winter. Also is 30% federal tax credit for the hot water systems.
All right. And what's the ballpark cost on if people were putting something like that in?
Anywhere from $6,000 to maybe $10,000 for a typical residence. Kind of depends on the size of the household. With a solar electric system, you can overproduce all you want and your meter goes backwards. With a solar hot water system, you don't really want to overproduce because there's no way to net meter heat. So typically we'll design a system to fit the household.
And we have done some really nice systems that are dumping during the summer into the pool. So for people that have pools, it's another way to take advantage of the sun and use. And there are also different systems. We're starting to get it. We've done mostly evacuated tubes. Something people can see on the tour. When we do our home on the tour, we like to show people our evacuated tube system that's making the hot water, the solar electric system that's making electricity, and that's one type. But there are other. There are flat panels. There are pool systems. Specifically, they're less expensive. We just did one of those last week up in Woodway. She's going to be on the tour, and so there are more and more solutions coming out every day. I mean, this is obviously a moneymaker. Obama's administration is investing big time in all types of solar around the country, battery systems. There are factories that are opening up that are getting money for the electric cars, energy efficiency. We don't want to go away without talking about that because obviously make your home more efficient so you need less electricity. Money is coming into the utilities, Seattle City Light, PSC. They both support home energy audits. $400 audit, you, the customer, pays between $50 and $100 for it. The utility pays the rest because 60% of our energy in this country could come from energy we are currently throwing away. And that is so clear to the current administration that they're really supporting this in a big way. And there's companies like ours all around the country, new companies starting up, the battery, the charging stations for the electric cars. We have a division, electric vehicle support, that specifically does charging stations. And I was talking to our division head yesterday. I said, how many charging station companies do you think are now opened up? Because every time the guys go to a conference or, you know, get on a conference calls with people around the country that are doing the electric car stuff, we're amazed at how many companies are opening up just to do the infrastructure for the electric cars. And I think I heard over 24.
35.
So, when you think about, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and that we are such clever people. The first modules were made by the Bell Labs here in the United States, and those are over 50 years. They're almost as old as me. I think they're 55 years, 56 years, still producing electricity. And that was exactly the model that was taken from us to Japan and Germany. And they started their industries and Spain, and you know it's happening all over. You look at some of the solar magazines, the international solar magazines, you see how much solar is going on around the world. And it's definitely something that this country can do, as we are innovators and we know this stuff. Microsoft involved in a big way in the whole electrifying transportation. They have conferences every year we go to. The Port of Chelan is just big time into the whole electrifying transportation. And sometimes we hear from people, well, that doesn't really make sense because, you know, it'll cost a lot for all the batteries and the this and that. Well, when you go to these conferences, you meet these brilliant people like our friend from UC Davis, a professor there who's had his students building plug-in hybrids. Go out and get whatever car you want. We're going to make a plug-in hybrid. And that's part of the sanity here is let's take old cars, lightweight cars, convert them. Another industry that's growing, South Seattle Community College has a fabulous laboratory for this, and they're teaching people how to do this. So you take the lightweight cars and you convert them into plug-in hybrids. And this is like a Prius, except for instead you have a bigger electric motor, small gas, that's the backup, so people can deal with what we call in the electric car field range anxiety. So if you're afraid that your battery's going to run out, there's a backup for you. So Andy... UC Davis, Professor Andy Frank is now, he's started his own company, and he comes out and talks to us, and we all get all excited because he's so smart, and he's been doing this since the 70s, kind of considered the father of plug-in hybrids. He just makes it clear to us, look, this is the way we can make the transition. We don't have to think about building all new electric cars, all battery charged. Let's do the plug-in hybrids. And he gives these talks in California when he shows people, you know, you can pay for a solar system on your house in 4 years if you're using that system to make fuel. Because, of course, fuel costs a lot more. So, like with my electric car that goes 30 miles, I tell people, it goes 30 miles on a charge. If it takes me 8 hours to charge it and I'm spending 8 cents a kilowatt hour, that's 64 cents. That's instead of $3 for a gallon of gas. Okay? That's one way the math works, or what Jeremy likes to say is we have enough roof space here in Seattle for everybody to make their own fuel off their own homes. Easy. You have that solar electric system there, making the electricity, charging the car. You got your fuel. And Microsoft and a lot of these clever utilities thinking ahead are saying, and what if we have those systems that car is going to hold an 8-kilowatt system, could hold it like an 8-kilowatt battery system, charge the house off the car, and it could be backup system, could be the wave of the future, so that you're basically moving fuel around.
And you have an older electric vehicle, so that's why its range is 30 miles.
Old lead acid batteries.
Yeah, the new cars.
Selectria. It's a fascinating story. The way these, again, a clever company in Boston, husband and wife combo, just got out of MIT. Loved the idea of a solar car, putting solar panels on the car. Instead, they said, no, smart thing is put the solar panels on the house and charge the car. And they started building fleets of these. This one came out of New Jersey, but it's a great story. Selectria, it's on the internet.
Yeah, so the new cars will all have like 80 to 100 mile range. And that's going to satisfy, 90% of daily drivers. Most people don't drive very far at all during a typical week. So electric cars are just an amazing way for us to get off of fossil fuels, and you can get that electricity from your rooftop. Our pitch really is to homeowners. That's kind of residences use 22% of energy in this country, and passenger cars use 11%. So if you're a homeowner with a car, you've got your hands on the levers of fully one-third of the energy use in this country, and you can actually do something about it. So making your home more efficient, bringing solar energy in if you can, and electrifying transportation, huge game changers.
Is there any support from the utilities or elsewhere for the initial outlay, helping people with the initial outlay for putting in a system? $10,000 to $30,000 on a house is kind of steep for those of us that want to be a part of this.
Here in Washington State, now again, this varies across the country, so those of you listening across the country, take a look at the website called Desire, D-S-I-R-E. That's where you can see listings of all the incentives. Here in Washington State, the utilities are the ones that are going to give us, they're participating in that state incentive. So you get the money along the way. Snohomish is the one that up front will help you with a $25,000 loan, or you can get rebates. So if you're listening in Snohomish, take a look at Solar Express. And I always rah-rah it and say, City Light, get behind this kind of program. This would be very helpful.
Yeah, Snohomish County has been pretty progressive in this sense. And they've got excellent rebates for solar hot water and solar electric. Or they've got a low-interest loan program. It's 2.9%.
And they'll be on the tour, too. So I do want people to know, with the tour, you can go to solarwashington.org to find out where the tour sites are. And we'll have our home on the Seattle tour. There's a Snohomish tour. There's tours all around the state. Again, solarwashington.org is where you can see where they're broken down. And it is a national tour. So, again, for those of you listening all across the country, look at ACES.org to find out, and click on the state, and we'll find out.
A-S-E-S.
American Solar Energy Society.org. Click on the state, and you'll see where tours are happening in your area. We love people to come see our house because we're able to show them it's a 100-year-old home on Finney Ridge. We've done the energy efficiency when we remodeled. We changed out our windows. We love to show people how we did everything. Radiant system, heating the house, solar electric, solar hot water, and the electric car. And our dog, Pugsley, who loves the attention.
Yeah, you have solar space heating in your house, right? Is that?
Yeah, we have passive solar heating, which our home is what we call sun-tempered. And that means we don't have any special gizmos, but basically just the sun comes through the windows, and we super-insulated the house. So once that heat gets in the house, it's pretty hard for it to get out. So any sunny day,
we lowered our energy use by 80% between what we do with the solar electric, solar hot water, and the efficiency from when the time we moved in 13, 14 years ago.
All right. And the tour is it's nationwide as well as local.
Next Saturday. That's right. For the most part. Now, some people have different tours, so take a look. There is, like, Olympia Today is going to have their tour. So, again, go to solarwashington.org if you're in Olympia, and they're going to have some fabulous sites down there.
All right. And can I give out your phone number as well for people that don't have access to the Internet?
Yes, 206-706-1931.
It's the phone number for Puget Sound Solar.
Mm-hmm. We have a great website, too, to show you our electric car division and our energy efficiency division and our solar division. Makes it sound big, but we're about 12 people working really hard because we love this business and we really want to make energy efficiency and solar happen in Western Washington.
All right. Well, with that, we're unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Our pleasure.